Good. So last time we looked at, we had a couple of reflections. We looked at how this work has been affecting your sense of self. So that's one of the things that we looked at. And a lot of you mentioned how one of the things was that the sense of self has become much more fluid. And you recognize how sometimes you feel yourself in one way, sometimes you feel yourself in another way, and where in the past you might have had a more clear definition of, like, I am like this always, then now you have this feeling that not really. It's getting harder to be very rigid in your definition of yourself. And this is wonderful. And I think some of you also mentioned this experience that sometimes you can come to a place where you actually don't really know. If somebody were to ask you to define yourself, you might actually have a hard time, right? So how many recognize this? It becomes really, who am I? I don't know. Sometimes I'm like this, sometimes I'm like that. Who am I? And of course, this is exactly what we are going to explore for the rest of the year, really. And one of in a way, you can see all the everything we're gonna do for the rest of the year is sort of like looking at everything you experience, looking at your whole experience, and then sort through it and go like, is this me? No. Is this me? Maybe it has something to do with me. Is this me? No. Because what often happens is that there's a lot of things that's not you, which you think is you. And then there's a lot of aspects of your experience which you think is not you, which actually is you. So it's sorting through things. This is what we're gonna do a lot. And I think a good place to start and sort of you can say, well, why is this really, really, really important? There's a story that some of you might have heard. I don't remember it exactly, but I'll give you a version of it, right? So this is the story of a journalist that's interviewing a Buddhist master, right? And this journalist says, what, in your opinion, what is the greatest problem that humanity is facing today? Right? Is it hunger? Is it, I don't know, capitalism? Is it war? What's the greatest issue that the human species is facing at the moment? And then the teacher says, I like to answer that question, but before I answer, I'm gonna ask you a question. I'm gonna ask you, who are you? And the journalist says, I don't know, Frank. And the teacher says, no, that's just your name, right? That's just the name that's on your passport and stuff. But who are you? And the journalist says, well, I'm a journalist. And the teacher says, that's just your profession. And it's so who are you? And the guy goes on and tries to give these different answers, right? I'm a fairly successful person, or maybe he doesn't see himself as a successful person, so he says he's not successful. But these are just like events in your life, right? It's like, is it going your way or not? And he tries, well, I'm a man, I'm a human, I'm this, that, the other. But again, this is your species. This is none of this is what who you are. So who are you? And in the end, the journalist says, it appears I don't know. And then the teacher says, that is the greatest issue humanity is facing. We don't know who we are. We all suffer from this issue of mistaken identity. And so this is why we dedicate so much time to this. And I think by now, when we've done the other work, we're in a really good position to look at this issue. Good. In the first section today, we are going to look at, in general terms, the kind of things that we take ourselves to be, which are not us. And I like to call this the conditioned self. So I'll explain a little bit, and I mean I'll give some definitions, and you will have heard these definitions before, but they're good to sort of reiterate at this point. So, as we grow up throughout life, we encounter a lot of different situations that we have to deal with. Early in life, we have to deal with our own limbs, right, and figuring out how they work so that we can walk. Later, we have to deal with other human beings and figuring out why they react the way they react. I'll give a short little story. The other day, my girlfriend had a wonderful conversation with my son. She said, how was it in kindergarten today? And he says, it was fine. And she said, did you play with Vilma? Right? So this is a friend of his. He often plays with Vilma. And he says, no, I don't like Vilma anymore. And then my girlfriend says, oh, okay, what happened? Why don't you like Vilma? And he's like, Vilma yells at me. Vilma is shouting at me. And my girlfriend says, oh dear, maybe there's something we need to fix, right? And so she says, well, what did Vilma shout at you? And he says, she shouted, stop. And you go, hang on a sec. What did you do that made Vilma shout, stop? And he's like, nothing. I was just, munching her. And it's like, were you biting Vilma? Yeah. And you go, okay, well, I think we need to just talk a little bit about, there's some interpersonal stuff that we need to have explained here, right? So I love that. I don't like her because she yells at me. Has more to this story. So constantly we are in these situations where we, and I mean, in all honesty, right? Later in life we have partners, and they're equally incomprehensible, their actions sometimes, right? So there's a lot of situations that we have to learn to deal with. And when we learn to deal with this, we develop response ways of responding to the environment. And the ways we respond to the environment is through we develop these bundles of thoughts, like perspectives, emotions, and behaviors. So maybe if you at some point you figure out that if you say nice things to other people, that's behavior, then they'll like you more, right? So it's so and then you feel good. So there's like an emotion of maybe a kindness and a behavior of giving other people compliments, and there's an accompanying perspective, something along the lines of giving other people, being nice to other people is a good thing, right? That's a good thing. So we develop these bundles of thoughts, emotions, and behavior that are responses to the environment. And you will have heard me say before, one bundle of thought, emotions, and behavior that sort of like hang together, that's what I usually refer to as a personality part. So personality part is nothing other than a coherent system of thoughts, emotions, and behaviors. And we develop a ton of different responses to the environment, and that's why we have many personality parts. And the sum of all our personality parts is what we refer to as our personality. And I like to think about it like that because it means that our personality, which is something we generally tend to identify with, is actually just our toolbox. It is nothing other than all the tools that we have developed throughout life to deal with our environments. It's a collection of all the responses we have to our environment. And of course, there can be conflicts and all of these kind of things. We've looked at that before. Now, within each personality part, there's a thought, there's certain thoughts, there's certain emotions, there's certain behaviors, and there is a sense of self, right? So, for example, the personality part that really wants to be kind to other people and does it by giving other people compliments, for example, there's a sense of self in that, and that sense of self, maybe you could describe it as the attentive self, right? The self that pays attention to other people and notices their good qualities and puts words to them. Or you might say, oh, this is the appreciative self. This is me when I'm appreciative. Does that make sense? We have all these personality parts. Each of them have a sense of self. So when we are merged with a particular personality part, we have a specific experience of ourselves. So we have a particular sense of self. Good. So maybe some more examples, and I say these develop as responses to the environment. Lots of them will, of course, have developed as responses to our early environment, so our childhood environment. So, for example, maybe you grew up in a family where one of the values in the family was to be helpful. That was appreciated. Your parents, when they saw somebody who were helpful, they said, oh, this is a really nice person. If you or some of your siblings were not helpful, you were scolded for not being helpful. If you were helpful, you were praised for it. It was a family value. We help each other out. That's what we do in this little clan, right? That's what we do. And that's what we like. And so, in order to get praise and positive attention and avoid being scolded, you would start your radar, your perception will be tuned to noticing opportunities for being helpful, right? When you go through life, there's a million things that you can pay attention to. But here you'd probably start paying extra attention to other people's problems, other people's issues. So you will notice when you have an opportunity to be helpful, because if you take the opportunity, you get points, and if you miss the opportunity, you might get the opposite. And so you will get this, maybe you will start feeling yourself as the kind of person who helps others. So I'm a helper, or I'm a kind person, or I'm somebody who likes to serve others, right? So, does that make sense? Good. And of course, maybe just briefly, another example would be if you grew up in a family, you know, the kind of family where you have very critical parents, right? You come home with the, I don't know, what's the grade system in the UK? Is it like ABC? Or do you have numbers? It's ABC, yeah. You come home with all A's and one B, right? And that's all they want to talk about, your parents want to talk about. In that situation, again, your response to the environment might be to be very attentive to anything that can be criticized and then either fix it or hide it. And the sense of self that might come out of that might, because there's always something that can be criticized, right? You can always find something. So the sense of self that might develop, it might be a sense of being flawed, or sometimes a sense of self that develops is the sense of self. Maybe you think you're pulling it off. So the sense of self would be, I'm the right one. I'm the one who are doing things right, as opposed to all of these other, people out there. Good. So you're getting the idea, right? Fantastic. So if we want to sort our experience and clear up the confusion of the mistaken identity, it can be very good to get very to spot all your conditioned senses of self. So, if you think about your, you just think about today,